Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Our Father, we thank you today for your blessings and for all that you've done for us. I ask now that you would anoint the word as it goes forth. And Father, we come against any hindering force that would try to stop this message from going forth today. And we give you praise and we give you glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I was sitting in church, I believe it was about a week ago, listening to the pastor preach, and he has a habit a lot of times of talking about, when he first begins the message, something that happened in his life or something that he was part of earlier, maybe in the week, and as a result of an incident that happened, he tells the little story and he says, and I thought, that will preach. And I suppose a lot of ministers, God begins to speak to them through the Holy Spirit as they listen to things that are going on around them. And as he was preaching, one of his scriptures touched my heart. And I guess I kind of said to myself, that'll preach. There's a scripture found in the book of Habakkuk, in the Old Testament. It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Then we skip to the New Testament, for those who think that we don't have to have the Old Testament anymore. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We skip to another book in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Four times in God's holy word, these words are written, the just shall live by faith. And it's amazing sometimes how we can read something in the scripture. We can hear it repeated over and over and over again in the Word of God. And all of a sudden, one day, it clicks with us. The Word just like hits us on the head with a baseball bat, so to speak. And I kind of imagine maybe that's what happened to a man by the name of Martin Luther, who lived back in the 1400s, actually 1483 to 1546. And for those that are not familiar with the name Martin Luther, and I know that probably there are some people that are not, he was a German professor of theology, he was a composer, he was a priest, he was a monk, and he was a very important figure in the Protestant Reformation. Because you see, it was on October 31st, of 1517 that Luther wrote a letter to the bishop Albrecht von Brandenburg, and part of it, what inspired him, was he had read these same verses that I've just read to you, basically ending with the just shall live by faith. In this letter, he enclosed a copy of something that he thought was going on in the church that was wrong, and that was the sale of indulgences. And then basically what that boils down to, you sin, you go to the priest, you pay a fee, he sells you an indulgence, which says, okay, it's okay. It's like they go to confession, and, Father, I have sinned. I've done such and such. And the priest says, okay, you go and do such and such, or maybe you pay so much money, is what it was boiling to down during that time. You pay X number of dollars and you're forgiven. Well, I heard a story one time, and I don't really want to offend anybody by this story, but it's kind of true in the way that it became, that a man went into the priest and he confessed and he said, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Told the priest what the sin was. And the priest said, well, that'll be so many Hail Marys and whatever else he said. And the man then said to the priest, well, Father, you just better do this a number of more times, tell me a number of more times, because I'm going to go out and do it again. And that's kind of what it had become to. People were going out committing sins, paying a fee, or saying so many words, and believing that their sins were forgiven. Well, as Martin Luther reads this in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say the just shall live because he pays so much money to the church. It doesn't say the just shall, or the sinner shall be forgiven because he said so many Hail Marys or whatever else that it might have been required of him. But the just will live by his faith in God. Well, this disputation that Martin Luther wrote became known as the 95 Theses. And he became convinced that the church was corrupt in its ways and lost sight of what he saw as the several of the central truths of Christianity. The most important thing that Luther believed was lost was the doctrine of justification. In other words, God's act of declaring a sinner righteous by faith alone through God's grace. Again, not by the sale of an indulgence, not by saying so many Hail Marys or whatever else was required, but by faith in God and in the grace of God. So he began to teach that salvation or redemption is a gift of God, grace, attainable only through faith in Jesus as the Messiah. In other words, I believe Martin Luther had what we could say sometimes here is a come to Jesus moment. And he realized what was going on and he woke up. Well, faith for Luther was a gift from God. The experience of being justified by faith was as I thought I had been born again, is what he wrote. And he goes on to talk about it, and those that have access to the internet can look up and find about Martin Luther and read a whole lot more about what he had to say and his part in what became known as the Protestant Reformation. But he believed and taught that all of sin are justified freely without their own works and merits, but by the grace through redemption that is in Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And it's necessary to believe in this, otherwise you will not be saved. Well, what is faith? And if you look up the word faith in the dictionary, it gives several different definitions. And the Greek word pistis means belief or trust, especially in a higher power. It's the fundamental idea in the scripture, steadfastness and faithfulness. The dictionary goes on, and one of the dictionaries goes on and says, belief and trust in and loyalty to God. A firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Complete trust. Something that is believed in with strong conviction. faith. Now the Bible goes on to tell us that if we have the faith as the grain of mustard seed, that's all it takes. And you know what? A mustard seed is pretty small, very tiny. In fact, most times you find a mustard seed, they used to sell them, they probably still do, encased in a little clear marble-like thing that magnified them so that you could really see them up close and good. But it was a tiny little seed. But the Bible says if we just have that much faith, we can move mountains. Now that's not a whole lot. But yet it says we can move mountains if we have that kind of faith. I remember watching a television program years ago, and this program was very popular back in the 70s, and the character on there, by the name of Archie Bunker, made a statement one time which kind of stuck with me over that time. I don't remember how the subject even came up, but it came up, what is faith? And he said, it's believing in something that no one in their right mind would believe in. And sometimes maybe that's the way the world looks at it, that how can you believe in God? How can you believe this? How can you believe these things that you read in the Bible? But we take it by faith. And you know, we have something that a lot of the world did not have before, from the time of Jesus until now, is because there are archaeological evidences proving now some of these things that we have believed in. And I tell you, I don't know how the world could go by without a belief, a faith in God. And I don't mean some idol that's set up somewhere that's made out of wood or made out of stone that they fall down and worship, and it's lifeless, can't do anything. But I serve a living God that I believe in, and I believe that He does miracles, and I believe He does a work in my life, and I believe that He has saved me, and I believe that one of these days I'm going to go to be with Him for all eternity. I believe in those things. That's part of my faith. Now the Bible goes on and says, as we were reading there, the just. We talk a lot about faith, but who are the just? What is the just? Let's look at Habakkuk again in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, look at the proud, and I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. Look at the proud, they trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. The just are the righteous. The Hebrew word tzaddik, which can be translated righteous, are lawful. And if we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, for it is in God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And who are the righteous? The righteous are those who have given their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, put their trust in Him, put their life in His hands, believing that He is going to guide them and direct them throughout their pathway of life. And that one of these days, we're going to go to be with Him for all eternity. The Greek word dikaios, and I probably didn't pronounce that quite right, dikaios, justice, or just, righteous, right. So it could be read, those who are right will live by trust in God. Those who are right will live by trust in God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And there, the word substance is the Greek word hypostasis. And it could read this way, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. And in the New Living Translation, it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And yes, my friend, living for God, serving God, following God, takes an act of and a step of faith. Because if we just look at the world around us, it's going to crumble. But we have our faith. And that one who died on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sin, that we are righteous in his sight. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 goes on to tell us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, known in many ways as the Hall of Fame chapter in the Bible. And in this chapter, Paul writes to the Hebrews about some of the great heroes of the faith, you might say, going all the way back to Enoch. And he says in 11:5 of the book of Hebrews, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him, for before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And this is a scripture that we all are to look at. Are you known as a person who has pleased God? Have you pleased God? Do you please God? Think about that. Doesn't tell us a lot about Enoch, but he was translated, as it says in the King James Version. If we go into the New Testament and we're looking forward to in the future, he was raptured at that time, taken up. Verse 7 tells us about a man by the name of Noah. Now, almost everybody's heard of Noah. We talk about Noah and the ark, and even people that don't necessarily believe in God, that don't follow Christianity, have heard the story of Noah and the ark, and they will try to dispute it and disprove it and all that stuff. But it says, by faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen, and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. I want you to stop and think about this one for a minute. Noah had never seen an ark. Noah had never seen a boat anywhere near the size of the one he was about to build. But God gave him the plans and the direction, and by faith, he stepped out, began to build it, preached to those that were around him, warned them that a flood was coming, and they mocked him. And then the day came that God spoke to Noah and said, you get your family and the animals into the ark. And it says, and God shut the door behind them. And they were in there for a few days before the rain began to fall. But it did. And those who had ignored Noah's warning suddenly wanted into that ark. They wanted into that boat, but it was too late. And that's a picture of salvation, because we've been warned that we need to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We need to accept him for the work that he did for us on the cross of Calvary, and that there's a day coming when we're going to stand before God and be judged. And those that are on the ark will be saved, and those that are not will be lost. It's a picture of an event that is coming in the future, and the most likely not too distant future. Verses 8 through 10, it talks about Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who was his son and grandson, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham stepped out of the city where he was living by faith, headed in a direction that he knew not where he was going or where he would end up, but he believed what God had told him to do, and as a just and righteous man, he followed the path and the will of God. Abraham, the father of nations. Skipping on down to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want you to think about that one for a moment as well. Most people have heard the story of Moses. Moses leading the children of Israel across the Red Sea. Moses and the children of Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years. We've heard some of this stuff. Even people that don't go to church have heard some of it. But Moses, born in a time when there was a death sentence on all Hebrew male children who were under a certain age. Moses' mother builds a basket, puts it out by the river. Pharaoh's daughter comes along to take a bath. Hears the baby crying. Gets him, takes him home. Ends up hiring Moses' mother to be the nanny. Moses, raised in the house of the king. The most powerful man on the face of the earth at that time. And Moses could have been his heir apparent. He could have been in line for ascension to the throne, possibly. But one day he saw an event taking place and it just pushed his buttons. And he said, I can't let my people suffer this anymore. And if you read the story and you're familiar with the story, he killed an Egyptian who was abusing some Israelite people. He had to flee for his life. He's gone from the palace to the backside of the desert, where he spends 40 years. And then after that, God brings him back to Egypt, where he, by faith, then leads the children of Israel back to the promised land. Now, I want you to think about this. Spent 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the desert, and 40 years leading the children into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And he alone got to the banks of the river as one of the leaders, but was unable to cross. But it took a lot of faith on his part. Did Moses make mistakes? You read the story. Moses made some mistakes. He made one that was so bad that it kept him from crossing the Jordan and going into the promised land. But yet, he held true to God. Faith. And then as we read on in the Old Testament, and read on here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 31, it says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And you remember the story. Spies went to spy out the land. They came back with a bad report. That's why they ended up spending 40 years wandering in the wilderness until that generation died off. But now the time has come to go in. They've sent spies in again. Rahab hid them. Some way, somehow, she knew that if her and her family were going to survive, they had to take care of these spies. And she received them into her house, hid them, got them back out of town, you might say, out of Dodge, safely. And when they marched around the walls of Jericho, only her house and her family were spared, because she had faith that these spies that she essentially risked her life to hide knew something that she didn't know. Now, the book of Hebrews was written prior to 70 AD. No one's quite certain exactly what year it was written in, but it was probably written somewhere between the beginning of the early church, around the late 30s, up to just before, at least, Jerusalem had the temple torn down and the temple was destroyed. The Christians, this new church, was already having their faith put to the test. For a while, they didn't have so much to fear from the Romans as they did from the Jews. And in many cases, that brought them trouble. But then the Romans turned on them as well, as did other people. And we find here in the book of Hebrews already, they're being put to the test. The just are being put to the test. Their faith is being put to the test. And if you go on and read the book of Hebrews, you find that it talks about some of the things that are happening during that particular time, and the price that many paid. And we're seeing that happen again today. You know, after 300, and I forget the exact year, AD, when the emperor changed and Constantine came into power and he made Christianity the state religion. But even with that, over the centuries, true Christians were put to the test. True Christians were martyred, in many cases, by the church. And we're seeing that throughout the world today. Christians being martyred, Christians being killed, Christians' faith being put to the test around the world. In some place, all you've got to say is, "I'm a Christian," and the wrong person hear it, and you're a dead man or woman. Your life will be taken. Christians are being persecuted, even here in America today. The just are going to have to live by their faith, and the faith is going to be put to a test. But remember, God's word said, if you just got that mustard seed faith, you can move mountains. We don't have to be somebody that the world recognizes as this great icon of faith. And there are many people that have got more faith than you can ever imagine, that we never hear about. But they simply believe that God will do what he said he will do. God will do what he said he will do. So how do we become the just? Well, part of it's already been said through faith, and that faith is in Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross of Calvary, paying the price for our sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." You're saved through faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 says, "Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We become the just, the righteous, through our faith in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. That by asking him to come into our heart and into our lives, and to wash away the blood with the sins that we have in our life by his blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's so easy. It's just Jesus. I recognize I'm a sinner, but I want to be one of the just. Come into my heart. Let your blood wash away my sin. Make me a new creature. Make me one of the just. I ask it now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.